Hello, this is Fam Electric Ghost, and we're live on the air on our YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook channels. And we're with Eva Rodriguez, a certified health and weight loss coach. Welcome to the Fam Electric Ghost podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Just have to mention a couple of things. You probably noticed that listed on Newsly on the corner. We are a featured podcast on the Newsly Network. For those of you who don't know about that, you can check it out with a free coupon code of GHOST. This podcast episode will be on Newsly later today. That's an audio-only platform, so you'll be able to check that out. Again, it's coupon code GHOST. And other than that, we've got your website also up, which is https://eva.fit/free-resources, and that will be fully clickable by the time we're done with the show, so you don't have to remember that. Be able to click through on all the major podcast platforms that we're on. And today we're actually at episode 1075 of the Fam Electric Ghost podcast, tracking on Apple Podcasts since 2016. And we're going to be talking about today how to stop stress eating with just two simple questions. Then we'll also be talking about your story and more than that. So again, welcome to the podcast. And first question we always ask everybody is, what motivates you and why do you do what you do?
Yes, I love that question. What motivates me is I'm super passionate about women, busy women my age, 30s and 40s, who have spent their entire lives just working hard to be recognized and working hard to make sure they're making an imprint in the lives of the people around them. And we somewhere along the way forget about ourselves. We forget about our health. We forget about putting ourselves first. We forget about taking care of like the basic things. And one of the most, I always say that one of the deadliest things that we can deal with as humans is stress. And stress will literally cause chronic illness. Stress will literally kill people. My mother died of cancer in 2016. And that's when I learned that living a very stressful life can get you to that place. And I remember watching her as a child, always being so stressed out, always being on edge and wanting her to relax sometimes. And she just couldn't, she didn't know how. And so when she died in 2016, after her long battle with cancer, I started to deep dive into all things health. And I realized if I didn't make changes, I may end up right behind her, right? Because my life was so stressful because I was working such a stressful job and I'm a single mom and all of these things. And I said, you know what? I need to make sure this doesn't keep happening to the people that I love. And I went on a mission to become as healthy as I could. I got a plethora of certifications just to learn about how the body works, how the mind works, and really connecting mind, body, spirit with not just being healthy, but also being at your optimal weight and feeling confident and comfortable with yourself. I think that oftentimes when we're focusing on one thing or the other, whether it's health or losing weight or just our stress and nervous system, it's just one thing at a time that we'll focus on. And then the other things get forgotten. For me, it's so important that we look at ourselves holistically from mind, body, spirit, and all the things in between to make sure that we can be as whole as possible, live as healthily as possible, and enjoy the little bit of time we do have on this world.
Yeah, it's very important to have that holistic point of view. I tend to think of, a lot of what I do, I kind of came up with this idea of expansive. And yeah. I'm a producer. I come up with this idea of expansive sound, but I try to be expansive in everything I do. Which means like you try to open things up. And also I'm a cancer victim, just to, or a survivor. I had cancer when I was 27. I'm 56. And had to survive that and had to figure out a lot of things that I had to change. In terms of, a lot of times at-risk communities or communities that are like underserved by the medical industry. And then also just, being in some at-risk groups, we tend to have, a lot of issues with like diabetes, high blood pressure, and the stress. So, like sometimes if you're in these at-risk groups, these minority groups, you're under a lot of stress from the overall like macrocosm. We're living in a microcosm, and I was a sociology major, so I'll throw these terms out. But idea, you know, the microcosm is like individual, your family, your close-knit people around you, and the macrocosm is the general society.
Yeah.
And social mores have effects on either way, going back and forth.
Absolutely.
And so like sometimes the outer society doesn't understand how much stress they put on some of the, you know, marginalized groups.
Yes.
And then that causes, you know, ends up showing up as diabetes, shows up as cancer, shows up as obesity, is all these issues. And then, you know, people are stressed out and then like they might pick the wrong thing, like food.
Yes.
It is a way to make themselves feel happy. Then it's like a double-edged sword. It's like we're making you happy in the short term and killing you in the long term.
Yes, absolutely. And I love that you said that, because that's really what really brought me through this journey of, you know, when we're stressed and we're looking for relief, right? We just want, especially like after a long day at work or, you know, just winding down, what we look for the most is just like, I just need to breathe. I just need relief. And so many, I mean, it's so common, especially in the United States, of being stress eaters, comfort eaters, really what I call emotional eaters. And the definition, the most basic definition of emotional eating is eating for any other reason besides physical hunger. And if we look at it from that definition, anybody that's eating for any other reason than I'm just really hungry right now is eating for an emotional reason. And it can be, the emotion can be boredom. That's an emotion, right? It can be stress. It can be comfort. I'm seeking comfort. And this cookie or this donut or these chips will give me that. Yes. And it's so temporary. It literally is the dopamine hit of less than 90 seconds. And then when you think about it, the problem you were trying to escape or the relief you were trying to get, the problem's still there and the relief is gone. Now you got to go back and deal with the problem. Now you got to go back and deal with whatever it was that was stressing you, that was shaking your peace. And that's a lot of the work that I do in my one-on-one coaching with getting my clients to understand that hunger, there's physical hunger and then there's emotional hunger. And oftentimes, if we're not tuned in to our body, if we're not tuned into our intuition, we can't tell the difference. And so something as simple as, you know, your boss snapped at you or your partner snapped at you, and now you're just, you're on edge and you're so like riled up. And your brain goes back to thinking, you know what makes us happy? Ice cream. Wouldn't that sound great right now? And then you just kind of go down that spiral of like, that sounds amazing, right? And so you kind of spiral out. Next thing you know, if you're anything like I used to be, next thing you know, a pint of Ben and Jerry's later, you're like, yeah, that was good like 40 bites ago. And now I still feel crappy, right? And I still have to go back and deal with my boss was a jerk or my partner was a jerk or, you know, something happened at my kid's school. I still have to deal with the issue at hand. And that's what I try to kind of bring, like bridge the gap for my clients of understanding. When you're eating for any other reason than physical hunger, it is an emotional eating situation. And that can very easily become a slippery slope. It's not to say you can't enjoy foods, but one thing I always say to my clients is never eat when you're angry or when you're sad, because your body will not metabolize it or digest it properly. And that can also be a really good deterrent of, am I eating because I'm hungry or am I eating because I'm trying to avoid feeling or I want to feel something?
Also, it goes into like, if you have a job that doesn't give you the time to like, or you feel like you don't have the time to cook for yourself, then you start falling into the trap of like, okay, I'm going to go to that fast food restaurant for my quick breakfast and my quick lunch, my quick dinner, or then the quick snacks. And then you're getting a high calorie, high sugar, you know, coffees, all the fancy coffees that you get sometimes have more calories than the donut that you're getting. You know, So if you start, you know, if you're diabetic, like I was, you know, part of what happened to me when I was 27, there's like cancer. And then by 28, I was a type 2 diabetic.
Yeah.
So I had to start to learn about my relationship with food. And now today we've got these, like, you know, I have a constant monitor body on my body that's telling me exactly where my sugar is, which has really helped me manage and understand the impact of the food I eat.
Yes.
Which I think for maybe non-diabetics, they don't understand that. But like when you're a type 2 diabetic, if you're wearing a CGM, And it tells you like all the time where you are.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to see what happens when you eat certain foods.
Yes.
And then you start to realize, well, I don't need this size. You know, a lot of times you go to the restaurants, it's like this, the portion size they give you. As a type 2 diabetic for the last 25 years, I can't eat what they give me. I have to cut it down. I have to put it away or give it to somebody else. Not that I can't eat at a restaurant, but I have to learn to control myself.
Mm-hmm,
about how much I can actually eat, and then how much more veggie I need to order than the carbs and the sugar.
Yeah.
Order more veggies, more protein, less fat, you know, and less dessert or no dessert, no sugars. You know, maybe seltzer water or something that's like, you know, not high sugar content.
Yes.
Even the sugar-free stuff you have to watch. But so you just have to start to learn the relationship with food and then figure out, even if you don't have time, how to manage that.
Absolutely. That's such a great point as well, because as you said, when we go to restaurants, the serving sizes are like for a whole family. Like it could be like for a family of four and it's right in front of you and they're like, here, enjoy. And so many times if we're not connected or in tune with our body, so I think it's, you know, because you have the monitor, it's constantly reminding you. For people that don't, right, because my dad has diabetes as well, so he's also very cognizant. And it's interesting to watch how you always have to be super mindful of like what you're eating, what you're putting in your mouth. Is this enough of this? If it's too much of that. But for those of us who don't have those, either that constant reminder or don't have that that in tune, like intuition part going on yet, it's easy for us to just kind of fall into the day to day. I remember when I worked corporate, my commute, I live in the DC area. The commute was crazy. It'd be like 2 hours. I'd be eating breakfast on my way to work and eating dinner on my way home in my car, right? Because I was stuck in traffic for so long and I didn't want to miss out on time with my son when I finally got home. But think about what we get to eat in the car. It's not a salad. You can't eat a salad in the car. It's french fries, it's nuggets, right? It's like easy, quick finger stuff. And you're also driving, you're also stressed because of the drive, you're also not sitting down at a table. None of this is going to be good for your body, right? Eating and even in that state of not even being slightly relaxed, it just keeps you on edge. And as I've learned with all the learnings that I've gotten, all the certifications, all the clients that I've worked on, is our emotional well-being, our nervous system, our immune system, everything is interrelated. And you got, when one is weakened, everything else gets affected. And so that's why it's so important to be conscious. It's so important. I call it being the CEO of your life and your body. And I'm always telling my clients, like, step into that role. Don't let someone else be the CEO of your life or the CEO of your health, because they they don't care.
Yeah, like, you have to kind of tell, at some point you have to make decisions and say, the boss might want you working 14 hours, but you might have to say, you know what? I need to have a sit down breakfast.
Yes.
I need to be able to eat something healthy.
Yeah.
I can't just be eating this, you know, Dunkin' Donuts, Burger King.
Right.
I need to actually have something I prepared, like, you know, whole grains, something good, you know, something fresh, you know, whether that's an egg or however you do it, but something that I actually make.
Yeah.
So, and it's something that I can actually, you said mind, body, whole spirit, holistic point of view. A lot of people have not, you know, they live in the city fast lane and they're on the subway eating, they're on the car eating, they're in the train eating, they're on the plane eating. Yeah. Right. So they kind of thought that, well, that's normal. It's like, no, it's not actually good for your body. You should kind of set it. I've talked to some people, it's like, you know, the three meals we know, you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have gotten out of that schedule. They have no way to be in a relaxed, seated position. And they don't realize how much stress they're compounding. And your digestive system, from what I've heard, doesn't really do that well when you're in that kind of, you're putting yourself through that. So you're not digesting your food. So you're not getting the nutritional impact. You're probably getting cascading medical problems.
Yes.
That you're getting pills, and those pills have results. And then you have to take another pill. You have to do this. You have to get a surgery. You have to do that. It's like you're causing all kinds of additional stress because you got to set the boundaries, right?
Yes.
You got to tell, like, I need to be able to have time to eat.
Absolutely. And as someone, I was an HR executive for many years, so I say this so much to my clients, to my friends, like no shade, but the company doesn't really care about your health and well-being. They just care about their productivity. So you have to be, because they'll replace you really quickly, right? So you have to be an advocate for yourself and your own health, because they'll work you if you let them. And they'll be like, oh, you know, you can just buy, eat lunch at your desk. No, I always tell my clients, if you can help yourself, go somewhere else and eat your lunch, even if it's going outside on a bench to eat your lunch. Yeah. Like, don't
That's sit. Stressful.
Yeah.
Like, you're still plugged in. Your boss still comes in. You get interrupted. You're really not focused on having a little bit of that break.
Yes, you know? Yes. And when we're younger or when we're healthy, you know, in quotes, healthy, it's interesting when people, we take our health for granted unless we don't have it, right? Then when our health gets a little shaky, that's when it's like, oh, let me get healthy. And I always tell people, it's like, started like today. Like you can, like, if you couldn't start yesterday, start today, because it might take years of eating fast food, of emotional eating, of stress eating. It might take many, many years of this for it to catch up to you, but it always will, because the body keeps a score. It will always catch up, and it will manifest in a lot of different ways for a lot of different people. But the last thing we want as we get older is to have to then rely on medications and all of these other things when we could have just chosen better food habits, better health habits along the way. And it's little ones. You know, oftentimes when someone's starting a health journey or starting a weight loss journey, they get overwhelmed with like, I need to overhaul my whole life. And I always say, you don't. We start with the simplest things we can. Can you just sit down and eat your meal once a day, then we move up to twice a day, right? Can you just, instead of, you know, grabbing that cookie or donut when you're stressed out, grab water instead? Can I just make little up levels throughout the day? And then the habits start to build on themselves and you start to feel better. And that's the wonderful thing I think about starting a healthier habit or healthier habits in your life is you actually do see the gratification quicker than you think. I know we're so microwave society, quick, you know, instant gratification. We're like, oh, I ate a salad. I should be thin. Like, yeah, it doesn't work like that. But a little bit adds up. And then in about 2 weeks, your body's going to be like, hey, salads are great. Or this vegetable makes me feel really good. Or my gut health feels a little bit better. I'm feeling lighter. I'm feeling more energy. All of this is connected. And instead, what we do is, I don't have enough energy. Let me get some more coffee. I don't have enough energy. Let me drink some caffeine. Or I don't, you know, I need some sugar in my system. And it's like, no, what do you really need in your system? Yeah.
A lot of times it's like nutrition is something that people don't, like even when you go to your primary care doctor, a lot of times the first thing they'll do is give you a pill before asking, like, what are you eating?
Yes.
Like, what are you eating? Like, what's the assessment on your nutrition? Now, a lot of diabetics, we get nutritionists because they automatically do that. But if you're not a diabetic, sometimes they don't, unless you're into, like, you specifically ask for it. So a lot of times the holistic doctors or practitioners will start to look at people like the whole self.
Yes.
Like the mind, the body, the spirit. Because like, even if you're in really good physical condition, if you have a mental issue where you don't believe in yourself, you could have six-pack abs, but your mental condition is putting you in a stressful situation and you haven't resolved that.
Yeah.
So it's different. And then even if you have your six-pack abs, you could have an extreme diet that's actually not really good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You outwardly might look good, but you actually might be doing yourself harm and you didn't even realize it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things like extremes, diets, extreme fad things that are like, oh, 10 steps, you'll be done. Mm-hmm. What I've always thought is like incrementally things that I can sustain in my life that I can do for the next 20, 30 years or something that I know I can stay on.
Mm-hmm.
But that is more successful than any kind of fad that this overnight, you know, it's going to not be. You can't do that. It's not gonna work. So how are you going to stay on that?
Yes. And that's what's so funny, because I always say this as well. It's like, I always just say diets are dumb. Like diets are dumb because all they do is just keep you stuck. And once you let go or once you get off of it, anything you lost will probably come back. And so it's always, for me, I like to think of everything of what's the simplest way we can do things. And for me, I've always looked at it as like when I lost 30 pounds a few years back, it wasn't through following a diet. It wasn't through any of that stuff. It was literally through small changes, tapping into my intuition, understanding what my hunger cues were, understanding, am I actually hungry or am I actually emotionally hungry? All of these things of just like mindfully being aware, like being onto myself was really how it helped me. Because oftentimes what will happen is, yes, you'll see someone who has a maybe the ideal physique for everyone has a different ideal. You'll see someone that you think, oh, I would love to look like this person. But as you said, you don't know what they did to get there. You don't know how natural that is. You don't know if there are supplements going on there. You don't know if there's, you know, lack of adequate nutrition going on. You don't know what they look like outside of like in like the photos and the Photoshop and all that. You don't know what's really going on. And also, in order for I always say, you know, I teach permanent weight loss. It might take longer, but it will stay off. Because if you lose it fast, you'll gain it fast. Mm-hmm. And okay. if you lose it slowly and sustainably, it's a lifestyle change. Now it's like, no, I know that when I eat sugar, I don't feel great. So let me not do that, right? Versus I can never have carbs, right? It's like, no, it's not carbs. That's like, there is no one food that's like evil.
Kind of like,
yeah.
Balanced, right? Like the problem I think with a lot of things, like a lot of fads and stuff you see on the net is like, mm-hmm. it's out of balance.
Yeah.
It's always like extremes. It's like too much of this, too much of that.
Yeah.
Like all raw food, all raw this, all this, all this. Well, you know, nothing usually like we're omnivores, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, like if there's a balance, if you know, you could be vegetarian for if you want to, but there's a lot of things where you kind of need a balance of everything.
Yeah.
And the problem is, man, when you go and you do too much of one thing, and a lot of times people like, well, I think then they say, well, I can't have it at all. And it's really what we kind of like the idea of moderation. Like if you learn how to be more controlled, which is probably hard because like if you've been not taught control, if you haven't figured out how not to eat the whole donut box, not to eat the whole candy bar, not to drink the whole 2 liter of soda, like then you got to figure out how to do that. And that's like a mental, that's like you got to be have a presence of mind to understand what you're doing and the impact of what you're doing, the kind of thinking where like the holistic thinking, where it's not just immediate reaction thinking. And that's a hard thing because we're kind of taught to be in these little boxes and like, okay, this box I need for this moment. And not think about the consequences of everything, all the moments.
And we're taught to be reactionary, right? So we're taught to, it's just like, oh, this is happening. This is what I do. Or this, you know, when this happens, I do that. And my being mindful is, I always say it's like the, one of the first steps. And getting healthy is very heavy on mindset work. Very, very heavy on it. And something that I say often is, I can tell anybody what to eat and how to work out. And that is the easiest thing. What goes on between your ears is what's going to be the most, it's what's going to take the most amount of time because it's a lot of unlearning, societal views, the diet industry and all the things that they hit us upside the head with. There's always a new trend, a new fad, a new this, a new that. And then kind of bringing it back to what you mentioned, our regular primary care doctors, they don't train in these things unless we're like looking for, so it's like if something hurts or if like this isn't working right and you go to your doctor like, oh, let's do some tests. But instead of being preventative and proactive, it's very reactive. And one thing that I've learned, actually two of my clients are surgeons and they've both told me, they're like, we don't learn about any of this stuff when we're in med school. Like it's like a maybe a 2 hour lecture on like nutrition from like 1982, right? It's like not even up to date. And that's why it's like, yeah, they're experts at what they're experts at. The generalists are general experts at a lot of different things, but it's so important to, and it goes back to just being the CEO of your health, of your body, of your life, of educating yourself. If this were your business, if your body was your business, you wouldn't just let some rando on the internet tell you that like all fats are bad and you should never eat meat again. Like all of these, like you wouldn't let someone come into your business and start changing things around. I always say it's the same thing with your life and your health. You have to be like, wait, does this make sense? Like, is this really something? Yeah. Can I do this forever? And I ask people, I always say, ask yourself this. Is this something I can do forever? If the answer is no, you should run far, far away, because it'll only, as we've been talking about stress, it will only add to more stress in your life. Yeah. If you're trying to force yourself to do something that feels so unaligned and unnatural for you.
Well, a lot of times people are also like, they're trying to drive to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And there's no, like a lot of that is a comparison trap. Cause like you go and see that person's like, I want to be like that.
Yeah.
Rather than looking in the looking glass and say, well, what would be the ideal me? Mm-hmm. And really make an assessment of where you are, right? Yes. Rather than trying to be like somebody that you could never really be.
Yes.
And so you're going to lose that. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to get depressed. And then you're going to have shame.
Yeah.
You're going to have all these things. And it's like, if you start to accept, right? And then not be scared of your vulnerabilities. Mm-hmm. Now, being an artist, that's one of the hardest things, is like we have to accept our vulnerabilities and put mm-hmm. them out to the world and get reactions from it and not take it too personal.
Yes.
And then learn from those reactions. Mm-hmm. And every day you just want, so that's what artists do. Well, you do that as a person too. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. everything you do. And if you get the wrong, if you don't read that, read the room, if you don't read your what's going on to you, mm-hmm. like you have to read those things. If you read them wrong, if you get the miss signals, misfired information, then you make bad choices.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I agree. And it's interesting you say that too, that, you know, as an artist, you're putting yourself, you're putting your life, you're putting your love right out there. I always say it's many years ago, I sang and I danced. I would say it's like your heart is out there. Like you're just like, here's my heart. I hope you like it, right? And it's and you never know. And some people are like, I hate it.
I hate
your heart, you know. And some people love it. And you have to be okay with the good and the bad. And you have to be okay with the neutral. And one thing I've learned about when getting feedback from anything or from anybody, it's what do we make it mean about ourselves? And I love to ask that of myself, clients, everything. When there's something that happens and it's like, oh, so-and-so said this, or I tried this and it didn't work, it's always feedback. We're constantly getting feedback. Whenever you eat something, you're getting feedback. Your body's going to let you know pretty quickly, do we like this or not? Right? Is this going to be easy to digest or is this not going to be? Right? There's constantly feedback going on. And I always say it's important to be paying attention. Right? So being open to feedback, because not everyone is, being open to it, not taking it personally by asking yourself, what am I making this mean? And is there a different way I could look at this? Is there a different way that I could see this? Right? And we could take the example of if you went on a low carb diet because your cousin did it and it worked for them, but next thing you know, you try it and it's not working for you. For a self-critical person, for someone who's stressed out, trying to do all these things, they're like, oh, it's me. Oh, it's totally me. Nothing works for me. We get a lot of the all or nothing, you know, thinking of this. That's a big part of perfectionism too. It either has to be this or that. And it's like, no, maybe there's nothing wrong with anybody in this scenario. Maybe it's just not the right way to eat for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't take away from what worked for them. And it doesn't take away from what's working over here. It's about your bioindividuality. And the more we know, we kind of understand these things about us and just taking stock of how do we take in information? How do we take in feedback from the world? And how do we want to take it in? Because to me, that's growth. To me, I always want to be growing and evolving. I am not the same person I was a year ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And it's because whenever I try things, there's a lot of things I try that don't work out. Just things that I try people don't like. But instead of like saying, oh, well, nothing works, or I'm just going to keep doing this the wrong way, right? I just take it in and say, okay, what can I make this mean? And what can I take from this that'll help me? And it could be you need carbs in your life, or it could be you need more vegetables, or it could just be it worked for them, doesn't work for me. And it's getting to that, being able to,
I mean, you have to learn how to read.
Yes.
Yeah. Like if you don't read your body, like if you have pains and you ignore them, if you have, you know, you get hives when you eat something, like you like peanuts, but they give you hives. You keep on eating peanut butter and wondering why you got to go get a shot. And then you're just like, and you keep on doing it. It's like, well, that's not really working out, is it? Like at some point you got to listen to your body and saying you have a nut allergy. Maybe you can't do that.
Yeah.
And then you have to accept it. No, that's an extreme example, but I think a lot of old micro level people do that and then wonder why it's not working. Because they're not listening, right? Like just like your body's telling you stuff, just like somebody is outside of you is telling you something. And if you ignore those things, then they add up.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what happens too with when I mentioned the other a few minutes ago, like your body's always keeping score. It's always paying attention. Our bodies are very intuitive and our brains only want us to be safe. And they will do whatever to just keep us alive. Like that's like literally your brain's job, your primitive brain. It's like, let's stay alive as long as possible. Your body is always paying attention to like, okay, like you mentioned with the food allergy, that actually happened when I didn't know I was allergic to dairy. I would eat pizza and I would break out in hives. And I'm like, why? Pizza's amazing. I love pizza. But I soon found out I'm allergic to all these things. And I'm like, okay, so I have to decide, do I like pizza so much that I'm willing to be itchy about it? No, actually, I'd rather not. I'd rather not spend the rest of the evening scratching my arms, right? And then we got to make that decision. Sometimes it's tough. Like, I really like pizza and ice cream, but you know what? My body doesn't.
But you might have to do soy cheese or orange. So then suddenly you have to have an alternative thing. Yeah. And then, you know, do you get stressed because you get peer pressure to have a piece of pizza because you're out and everybody's having it and they don't have the almond cheese and they don't have the soy cheese. So then some people, like, to just to fit in, they'll go get the hives. It's like, well, that's kind of like a mind thing. Like you have to learn how to handle that.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. There's so many people pleasers in the world. I didn't know this until I really started like getting really deep into the brain science and becoming a life coach. But so many people are people pleasers and they would rather get the hives. They would rather like get the stomach ache or get the whatever reaction to be a part of the crowd or to not offend someone for saying no, thank you. And to me, I'm not a people pleaser. I'm like, listen, again, it goes back to being the CEO of your life. It's like, no, absolutely not. This has nothing to do, like me eating pizza or not has nothing to do with how much I care for you. We're going to be just fine, but I am not going to do this to myself. But so many people, because they don't want to be, again, we think about it, the tribe mentality
they don't want to be a cast out of the tribe.
You don't want to be a castaway.
Because they're not doing what everybody else is doing. And that's a lot of things people get stuck on.
Yeah.
And the things that they really shouldn't be in. Mm-hmm. And that kind of goes to the mindset.
Yeah.
Like it's like a food pyramid, but it's like a soul pyramid. Like you got to have this kind of understanding of like being present. Mm-hmm. Like if you're not present, then you're not listening to an internal and external.
Yeah.
And like the universe and everything around you is like, you're not understanding the result of what is your inputs and your outputs.
Yes.
You have no idea what you're doing. It's like, then you wonder why you're out of sync. It's like, you're out of tune. Like music, like we can be out of tune. We can be in dissonance. We can be in noise. Yeah. We can be in harmony.
Yes.
But if you're in harmony, then like everybody's, you know, got the candles out.
Yeah.
If you're in dissonance, people are yelling, screaming, bouncing, jumping around. Like, you kind of created that vibe.
Yeah.
With punk music, you could do that. Mm-hmm. So that you can, with frequencies, and your body is giving off these frequencies, whether you know it or not. And then you kind of got it. Well, with foo-foo, well, you'll start to get in tune with it when you listen to it.
it's true. It's so true, because when you think about it, if you ask yourself, if anyone listening or watching asks themselves, do I generally live my life on autopilot? That will tell you so much. If everything is very routine and you're just kind of like going through the motions, you're probably not being present or mindful in the moment. And being mindful, people get scared with the word because they think it's woo-woo. And I'm very woo-woo, so that none of this scares me. But it's actually not. Mindfulness is not. It's really just a matter of being present in the moment. So many times we're just living our lives and it's just like all the distractions and we're just like, yeah, you know, whatever. And you don't take a moment to, you know how they say stop and smell the roses. You don't take a moment to stop and smell anything, right? You're just like in your own zone. We're in our head for so long throughout the day. And so it makes it harder to be intentional because the opposite of autopilot is intentional, right? Mm-hmm. So it's really just a matter of like, instead of being, you know, on cruise control all day long, how about you take a moment, pause, breathe for 5 seconds, and then just say, oh, okay, I'm here. I'm doing this. I'm going to take a break now. That is what our brain needs for just the relief. It's like the relief we sometimes look for when we're stress eating, comfort eating, and all of that. A lot of the time, it's just, I need a little bit of mental peace. It's just your brain or your nervous system saying, we've been on fight or flight all day long. Can we just rest?
Yeah, and like meditation.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, like, if some people think meditative practice, they think that's woo-woo. They think that's, well, what's that? Mm-hmm. And a lot, you know, I'm a Buddhist, so I'm, you know, I chant and I practice, like, you know, breathing and techniques. And I set aside space, you know, two to three times a day to chant and do my breathing exercises. And it's kind of like, you know, before I even write a song as a musician, I will go into a kind of a peaceful state when I won't do anything.
Yeah.
I kind of just kind of clear out the noise.
Yes.
Or I touch my piano.
Yes.
I just kind of just sit there and kind of just wait. And then like the muse, then what happens is, like, I feel like artists are, we can channel.
Yes.
And so if you get rid of the noise, then the channel opens up. And then there's a lot of stuff that comes in. It's some of it's subconscious, some of it's external. Some is like you're in a kind of like dream state. You're in that flow state. Mm-hmm. But that flow state, you don't have to be an artist to be in that.
Right.
You can get into that if you don't, you know, have a mental block against believing it can happen.
Yes.
You can actually do it.
Yes, absolutely. I had a client, actually she's still one of my clients. She is one of my surgeon clients. And when I first started working with her, she said, I asked her, you know, I always ask, do you do mindfulness? What do you do after a stressful day, you know, in the OR and all of that? And, you know, I said, you know, what about meditation? She's like, oh no. She's like, I can't even imagine being alone with my thoughts after being in the OR for 12 hours. And I'm like, I get that, but it's so important for you, especially, right? For someone who is working something, a very high stress job where the concentration is necessary. You have to, like, what I always say, it's like, you know, loosen the valve because there's so much tension.
You have to shake it off.
Yes.
Then you get a crash if you don't shake that off.
Exactly. Because it's so much heaviness that goes on, right? So when you think about whether you're creating, whether you're healing people, whether you're saving lives, whatever that is, allowing yourself space and air, really, which is just like what meditation does. It's just like, even if you're breathing consciously and intentionally for 1 minute, that can be a meditation. That can be just enough for you to just be like, okay, I got the relief. I got a little bit of pressure off of whatever was going on. And then you can think more clearly. As you said, it allows you to, it opens up your creativity. And even if we're not artists, our creativity is necessary for all kinds of things, all kinds of jobs, right? It's like if you can think more clearly, even being more productive can be a result of becoming more intentional, getting off of autopilot. And you'll start to notice, you mentioned that a little bit ago, notice, you know, the energy in the room, like notice what's going on. Once you get out of your head, you're able to really see so much more. And then we experience life so much more, right?
Yeah, because I mean, once you read the room, like if you're on autopilot, you could give a speech and you could be so much concentrating on the teleprompter or your notes that you don't read the room.
Yes.
And you're not reading the room, you could see the people's expressions are not digging what you're saying. Right. Mm-hmm. And then you could, like, if you're more like aware, like a freeform jazz artist or somebody that's feeling like, oh, I actually see the call and response. Oh, maybe I should adjust.
Yes.
Maybe I should change. But if you don't, if you still stay on that train, you're like, wonder why I bombed. Well, because you didn't read the room. You didn't actually, you weren't in the present. You were totally locked in. And that's fine that you did all this work to make something perfect.
Yeah.
And try to stay on the schedule. But sometimes you have to be willing to look at what is actually happening mm-hmm. in the moment you're in.
Yes.
And make adjustments. Yeah. And not be scared to make those adjustments.
Mm-hmm,
and I think when you get to this kind of flow state type of mindset, like instead of, you know, having a song that you wrote on the bars all planned out, you're willing to like, oh, the bass player has an idea. The singer has an idea. The flute player, the flutist has an idea. Oh, I can take those ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Where the other kind of mind says, no, got to be exactly the way I wrote it.
Yes.
And most people in that room are going to like, oh, this is not going to be a fun session. It doesn't feel as you're not as involved. You're like, okay, fine. This guy wants to dictate everything. And that's fine if that's what they want to do. But I think you have a better life experience when you actually engage and are open.
Yes, yes. And when you're going with the flow, I think which is what being mindful lets you do instead of being so stringent and like going against the flow or like swimming against the current, right? It's like, it's actually much more fun to live life when you're not swimming against the current, when you are going into the flow state and allowing yourself to experience and feel and kind of try different things. It's a lot of how I teach weight loss. It's very intuitive. And one of the things that it's a bit of a mind F for some people where it's like, I'll say these are like the two questions that I always tell my clients to ask themselves. This is how you stop overeating. Only eat when you're hungry and stop when you've had enough, right? That and not full, but enough. It's a very, very small little level there between full and enough. And so I always say only eat when you're hungry. I don't care if it's three times a day, if it's two times a day, but if you're following a very strict, you must eat every 3 hours, then eating intuitively completely throws you off. It's like, no, I can't trust myself. If I only eat when I'm hungry, I'll never stop eating. Like that's a very common like thing that I hear. And I'm like, absolutely not. Because once you're tapped into your body, all your body wants is to be healthy. All it wants is to be healthy. It's your mind that wants to eat pizza and ice cream all day. It's not your body. It's your mind that's like, it's the habit brain that's like all day, like candy all day. Remembering
like what it tastes like. You remember that taste and bringing it back in your head and you're like, oh, I want that right now.
Yes, yes.
And you might got triggered by an ad or a memory or somebody said something. Yeah, I want the ice cream. I want that lobster. I want this. Yes. I want that. And it's because like it's calling that memory and saying, yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
That's going to make me bring back that time. It's kind of like when you listen to a song, it pulls you into a moment. When you eat food and you have a food that you like, it brings you like a movie or a song into that moment, making you feel that you're going to repeat that moment. And maybe it's not, but you think it's going to do that. And so that's a problem where you're getting triggered to like, you know, that stress eating. Because like, I want that moment when I was outside at the farm eating ice cream, looking at the cows.
Yes.
Well, I get the ice cream, but I'm not looking at the cows. So
right. The cows are not here. That is so true. And that's what happens because we do have those neural pathways in our brain of remember when we had ice cream and we were looking at cows, right? Like it goes there like, ooh, wasn't that fun? We should go back there. And then your brain's like, yeah, let's go back there. Only in our mind, though, let's just pretend to go. Doesn't work, right? So then here you are, you find yourself seeking again. There's like, what are you hungry for? You're not hungry for food. You're hungry for that, whatever that memory brings up for you, whether it's comfort, whether it's familiarity. Oftentimes I say when we have a lot of cravings for sweet stuff, for sweets and candies and things, it's because we may be craving intimacy in our lives. Maybe it's go hug your partner or your child or your pet or like pet your pet or something, right? That will give you that sense of like comfort and intimacy and familiarity that sure, maybe the ice cream cone is what you're seeking. Like maybe you think that's what's going to get you there, but it doesn't. And I always say this as well. when you're a stress eater or an emotional eater or anything like that, you have to think about whether it's a net negative or a net positive result that you're getting from this. A net negative result is eating when you're clearly not physically hungry. Now your stomach probably hurts, right? Because you've overfilled yourself. I always think of our stomach as like a gas fuel, right? As a gas gauge. It's like if you put too much gas in the car, it's going to spit it out. Like it doesn't go somewhere else, like into like the extra area. Like that doesn't work. Unfortunately, with our bodies, we do have a little extra areas, and that's our fat cells that if we overeat, that's where it ends up going, right? Mm. But there's always going to be, for the most part, a physical result to it, whether it's a stomach ache, whether it's an indigestion, whether it's weight gain, whatever it is, there will always be a result if you're eating against your body's natural intuition of only feeding me just enough fuel when I need it because I'm hungry.
Disorders too, right? Like if you don't eat right and you're caused a lot of problems in your gastrointestinal mm-hmm. system, then you might not sleep that well either.
Yes, absolutely. There, our foods can affect our sleep, can affect our moods, can affect our, you know, breaking out in our skin, like all kinds of stuff. And when we think about how food can be, you know, it can be poison, it can be medicine. I firmly believe in that. And when we think about it that way, it can feel scary to some people, but I think it's so empowering because all you need to do is take control. Again, mm-hmm. if you feel like you've lost it, it's just like here, right? We just reach out and take it back. And it's, as we've been saying this whole time, it's a mindset shift of shifting to a place of I'm in charge. The food is not in charge. The food is not your friend. It's not your frenemy. It's not a foe. It literally is fuel. Just fuel.
Which seems like a lot of times modern society, we've gotten disconnected between what we actually put in our bodies.
Yeah.
And because our mind is getting all these inputs telling mm-hmm. us, oh, you need this, you need that. Mm-hmm. And it's not actually getting the things that actually the body needs.
Yes.
They're being remapped. Because advertising is telling you you need this, mm-hmm, or mm-hmm. or your friends tell you need this, or this tells you need this, but you're not listening to what your body needs. So you have an iron deficiency, you've got vitamin D deficiency, you've got all kinds of deficiencies, and you're, you know, because you're not, you know, you maybe got too many choices and you're picking all the wrong things. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then you're not, you know, finding a way to like make it easy and say, well, I don't know what to eat. Well, you've got to start to, you know, talk to somebody that can mm-hmm. give you good recommendations, somebody that's going to be like what you're talking about, incremental, not fad, mm-hmm. not fly by night, going to do it for 10 months and then go back, you know, back to what you were doing before. Like you need to find a way to know, like, oh, if I eat these greens, mm-hmm. if I eat these fruits and these nuts and these whole grains, and this organic mm-hmm. food rather than highly processed food, I actually start to feel better. I sleep better. I actually don't get as depressed.
Yes.
There's all kinds of things that start to happen because, like, you know what? Your food has got chemicals and stuff into mm-hmm. your body needs, and maybe you don't need those pills. And maybe you don't need this and you don't need that.
Yes, absolutely. And I love that you mentioned that because what for someone listening or watching who may be thinking that, well, I don't even know where to start or I don't know what to eat. One of the things, like my number one word of advice for anyone is to start with exactly what you said. Cut out as much processed food as you can because you just don't know what's in it. Like we just don't know what's in processed foods. And that is always, I think, the easiest way when you're like, I don't know. Like, do I start eating, you know, chicken and broccoli every day? If you want, I wouldn't recommend that. But I would always say, let's just start with less processed foods because we don't know what's in it. We don't know what's in it. We don't know what the things that come in a bag or a package of any sorts. There's so many preservatives and chemicals that have to go into those foods to keep them fresh. And there's not enough research that can tell us yet the long-term effects of a lot of these processed foods. But what we do know is that they have a lot of trans fat. They have a lot of the things that cause the cardiovascular health issues and all of that. They're not tied to vegetables or fruit. They're not tied to any of that. There, a lot of them are tied to processed foods. So a really great place to start is if it grows from the ground, it will probably be easier for your body to digest than anything that comes out of a box or a bag. And that's just a good way to start. And then you can kind of go from there and experimenting and things like that. But that's a simple way. I think a simple way to just start being more health forward, right? Just like a little bit more health forward of just like, okay, maybe if I have, I used to start my day before I knew about all this health stuff. My commute to work, it was a caramel frappuccino from Starbucks and a blueberry muffin. That was how I started every single day for like 2 years, not knowing that there is 26 grams of sugar in that caramel frappuccino and probably just as many grams of sugar in the muffin. And I was starting my day with, I might as well have like put my face into like a sugar thing and just let me just inhale sugar for the first hour of the day, right? And I didn't even know. I wasn't even thinking about things like processed foods and chemicals and sugar and what that does to our bodies. So it's really just starting there with as natural as you can with the foods. And then maybe if you have, ice cream every single day, maybe like half of it. And then maybe like every other day, right? It's just starting with those little ways of getting yourself to a place where you're making more conscious decisions. That's really the key. It's just making conscious decisions, asking yourself questions.
Can you start to find out, like, I can like a whole grain, like I got into buckwheat. Mm-hmm. I start- mm-hmm. Wow, the internet just kicked us out for a second. So I don't know, that was like, oh, it was a clip. Like a StreamYard just like blew up. And then it came back. So okay, I'm back. So I'm like, I've never seen that happen before. But it's just like when you can find out about, like, my daughter got into gardening. Mm. She started with an outside garden and she started doing like hydroponic gardening. So now we have all these hydroponic garden and all these like fresh greens.
Yeah.
That we get, like, that we grow ourselves and we control the nutrients of what we're, so we know there's no pesticide in it. We know what we fed the vegetables, mm-hmm. and we get them constantly, even through the winter,
because
we're growing in our own tools. So and we live around a lot of organic farms, so we get a lot of bison, free range, turkeys and ground turkey meat, and you can get really good things if you start to look.
Yes.
Like say your local farmers, like your local co-ops, mm-hmm. your farmer markets on Main Street.
Yes.
You get relationships with the people who actually have, the eggs that aren't processed, mm-hmm. the grains that aren't processed, the veggies that don't have all these pesticides all over them. And it takes some work. It's like, mm-hmm. where is that market? Where is this co-op?
Yes.
How could I start gardening? Them start making choices.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes when you think of it that way, it can feel very overwhelming. And then I always, what my response to that is always just start with one thing. Just start with when is the farmer's market? That's it, right? Just one thing. When is it? It's on Saturdays, 1 to 3. Okay, right? Like it's just one thing and just committing to one thing at a time. Yeah. And just starting there. Yeah. Because I think a lot of times what people will say is like, okay, I'm going to get healthier. I don't want to get sick and I don't want to have all these, ailments as I get older or be taking all these pills. So like, I'm going to get healthy. And it becomes this whole production and you will easily burn out. Like it's a surefire way of burning yourself out. It's like, oh, it's too hard to be healthy, right? Or it's too much work. And it's like, no, it's actually hard to not be healthy.
The farmer's market was like the first thing we did, 5 years later, now we have our own gardens.
Yes.
But we were kind of inspired by hanging around the farmers.
Yes.
My daughter, she's curious. She started asking a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So she said, well, how do you do that? And then they had these some of these farmers had like kind of hydroponic gardens or like greenhouses. And my daughter started asking, like, why did you do that?
Yeah.
And then she started, you know, over time, 5-6 years later, she's starting to do it herself. It's like, yeah, I like doing that. So I mean, it wasn't overnight. It was like something, oh, we go to the farmer's market, we talk to these farmers, we go to their greenhouses, we go to the place, we start incrementally saying, yeah, we like this food, we like what it's doing to us. And it didn't happen overnight, but it's been sustainable. And it's been like an upward movement trying to do some of these things ourselves.
Yes.
And where we would buy it and like, now we can grow it.
Yeah.
So now it was like, it goes from like how you find it and then find out what you can do. And like, maybe you don't want to do it yourself. But the idea that you could go on that kind of progressive kind of journey to where you could go.
Exactly. And it's how we were saying, you know, this whole time, it's a lifestyle. And the way to start the lifestyle is to just take one step, right? It started with like with the farmer's market and it turned into the garden. That took time. But once it becomes a lifestyle for you and your family, then they also come along on that journey, right? They're also like, oh, you know, I see that mom or dad are doing this. I want to do this too. I'm curious as well. And then everyone's on board, right? But it has to start with one decision. It has to start with one choice to say, okay, I know this is the goal that I want. I don't know necessarily how I'm going to get there, but I do know I just do one thing at a time. And if I just make, and I always say weight loss, health, all of these things are just a series of decisions. It's just a series of decisions. You just wake up every morning and you decide what you're going to eat. And you decide, am I going to stress eat or not? Am I going to take time to give myself breaks throughout the day? Am I going to schedule a walk in the middle of the afternoon if it's nice out, right? It's just making decisions and then sticking to them, right? We often think that it's like we have to be super disciplined and like very strict and all of that. I am the most undisciplined free spirit in the whole world, right? But I also know that my priorities are I want to live as long as I can, as healthy as I can. And that is what drives all the decisions all the small decisions that I make throughout the day.
Yeah, I think that's the right way to think about it. And one thing we like to ask as a kind of question as we're kind of winding out is, are there three key lessons learned through your what you've learned about fitness and learned about stress eating that you can kind of convey at a high level, like three really good lessons learned that people could understand?
Yeah, absolutely. Always start small, but start with your why. Start with just understanding where you want to go. Sometimes when we have these grandiose ideas that are wonderful, but we have to know where, like, if you don't know where you're going, you won't know when you get there, right? So sometimes it's like, I just want to be healthy. Okay, what does that mean, right? I just want to be fit. What does that mean? Getting very, very clear on what your goal is and why. The why has to be super compelling, and it can be more than one, because you every now and again, you might need, it might be like, I want to look great in a bikini, or it might be, I just want to be able to like throw balls with my 12-year-old and not like be winded, right? All of these things will help you anchor into why you're making the decisions that you're making each day. The second thing I would always say, I would say is when it comes to any type of nutrition, I teach intuitive eating as a nutrition method, but the easiest way to eat is according to what your body wants, according to what your body's signals are sending you. It sounds very scary if we've been out of touch with our intuition, but it's never leaving you. It's never gone anywhere. We were actually born intuitive eaters. So it's just a matter of remembering. It's a matter of your neural pathways just being a little bit dusted off. It's like, remember when we were infants and we only ate when we were hungry? And if our mom tried to give us a bottle, we would spit it out because we were intuitive eaters. So going back to that is just a matter of getting in tune with what is my body telling me? And asking yourself the two questions that I always say, am I hungry? If you're hungry, it's time to eat. If the answer is no, then don't eat, because you're eating for reasons that are not true hunger, right? You're eating for emotional reasons. And it's not to judge. And I always say, never judge yourself. It's just, right about now, I want some ice cream. It's because I'm having a moment. I'm in my feelings. It's okay to just call it out. It's okay to be like, oh, I'm feeling really anxious right now. What else can I do? besides eat, right? And if you are hungry, if the answer to am I hungry is yes, then you only eat until you're satisfied. And the difference between satisfied and over full or full is usually 3 to 5 bites. So if you can remember that, if you worry about stress eating, overeating, comfort eating, the difference between satisfied and full is 3 to 5 bites. And also something that's really a great visual for people, our stomach is the size of our fist. So if you think about that, your stomach is the size of your fist. And then you think about the analogy from earlier where you go to a restaurant and they give you this plate that's this big, bigger than the screen, right? You're trying to fit all that into here, right? That gives you, it gives you a great visual to be like, that's definitely not all going on.
That's why you're not feeling good. Like when you're trying to get that down to here.
Exactly. Like, it's not going to.
Why you don't feel good.
It's exactly why you don't feel good. And then my last just like word of you know, just inspiration or anything like that for anyone that needs to hear it is just focus on being intentional. And once you just, if that is your only focus, that will give you so much more peace than living life on autopilot or living life and letting it happen to you. All you have to do is just take a moment to say, where am I right now? What am I feeling right now? Am I okay right now? Yeah, I'm fine. I just need a moment. Cool. That's intention. And that will make your life so much richer. And as I kind of started the show with like, I'm all about mind, body, and spirit. That's how you become one. That's how you become one with yourself. It's just being intentional.
And I think that's the best way. We've always talked about kind of like the holistic method and people being in tune.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of, you know, not being in disharmony.
Yes, yes.
from a musical term, but you can apply it. You know, because like the idea of that dissonance, that noise, that you kind of can feel it when you're in that noisy.
Yes.
Place and these things are like out of tune or dissonance or disharmony. You're like, oh, yeah, that's like a dissonant sound. Like, like I know when they hit that key, it didn't go with the other keys.
So like, right.
Where am I going?
It's like, is your body singing off key? So, you need to do something about that.
But I want to thank you again for being on the show. Remind people that we do have your link, Eva. .fit/free resources that is fully clickable. I want to thank you for being a guest on the Family Electric Ghost podcast. We are live on Facebook, Twitch, and YouTube, and we will be on all the major podcast platforms where you can watch or listen to a podcast. Thank you again for being on the show. That will be by tomorrow on all the other platforms, but thank you again for being on the Family Electric Ghost podcast.
Thank you so much. It was such an honor. I had a great time.
Have a good night.
You too.